Hi and welcome to What's Next. I'm Therese, your host, and in this week's episode we have amazing guests on the show. So let's get started right away. Have fun listening.
Hello, nice to meet you. Thank you to be part on the show.
Thank you for inviting me.
It's a pleasure having you. We start right away with the first question. Mm-hmm. Please introduce yourself and the studio.
Okay. My office is situated in Rotterdam, in the Netherlands, despite I'm originally Japanese. I have actually two offices running together. One is called MADMA, Urbanism and Landscape. This office is actually specialized in urban design, urban planning, master planning, and also the landscape design. And then the other office is called MASA Architects, focusing on to architecture and interior work.
I was a little confused which one now is yours, but you're mm-hmm. part of both of them.
Actually, to be precise, the MADMA, the first one is my own company. And mm-hmm. then the other company, MASA Architects, I have one Dutch partner, and then MASA came from Matsura, Sangers, so our both names came to mix, to be MASA Architects.
So you have the round, you have urban landscape planning mm-hmm. and architecture office.
Yes, indeed.
But before we get deeper into this, we have some warm-up questions. Mm-hmm. The first one would be, what's your favorite drink? Alcoholic or non-alcoholic?
Non-alcoholic one, green tea, Japanese green tea. Mm-hmm. I mean, it has to be a very good one, by the way.
Yeah.
Then alcoholic one, I don't know if you know the one of the very typical drinks in Japan called shochu. No. I think most of the people know sake, as you might know. And sake is a rice wine, right? Mm-hmm. And shochu is actually as popular as sake, but this is a type of spirit made out of different things. Like my favorite is the one which is made out of sweet potato.
It sounds also like a really good medicine when you're sick.
Yeah, it depends how you look at it, of course, but mostly yes.
The second question would be, if you could develop a skill overnight, mm-hmm. what would it be? What would you wish for? It can be anything.
My wish is that I want to be able to say all kinds of the name of the plants, like any type of vegetation, by looking at it.
Really?
That's what I really want. I know quite a lot, of course, but still, this universe of the vegetation is so large. I'm just like, feel like I keep being a beginner all the time. So
you have also a big garden with a lot of plants, or do you go into a forest or into a park and then?
Yeah, wherever actually, even including my garden, I want to be aware, you know, like what am I looking at, what they are and what they do. And somehow that's attracts my attention all the time.
But that's a really nice wish. I haven't heard this before. Most people say time traveling, mm-hmm. flying, some superhero power.
Ah, I don't really need those, actually.
No. Then your favorite hobby besides architecture?
Yeah, I do quite a lot of gardening. That's one thing. It's relating to my kind of personal interest to vegetation and nature. But also I do a lot of, how you call this, a DIY thing, you know, make just things by yourself. And mm-hmm. especially I'm obsessed to pick up something from the street, pick up some junks and make something out of it. That somehow attracts me the most.
For example, like an old chair Or does it have to be really...
chair or, you know, broken piano legs, turn it into shelves or like anything, like the broken window frames or, somehow I like to convert kind of useless thing into something useful.
What was the last thing you turned into something useful?
That was actually, I made one cabinet standing on my balcony, holding all these plants inside. It was just a combination of the, you know, like a piece of wood from the street, broken piano legs, and also some sheet of glass, which was thrown away. And then, that was big fun.
This also sounds really creative and interesting. So I read that you are also a teacher.
Yes.
So you sit at an interesting intersection of practice and education. How important is this intersection in your work and your ability to embrace your ideas?
Actually, for me, there's not much boundary between teaching and our professional practice because even during our practice, you know, what we are doing is a learning process on every moment. And also we are working in the office with a team where I'm also teaching some stuff and I'm also taught by them, you know, what to do, what can happen. So teaching in school is a bit of extension of that. Of course, it is formulated in different way. It's under education kind of a category, but I'm also learning a lot from the students, obviously, because they're living in different generations. So they know lots of things which I don't know.
Mm-hmm. And when you start your design process, you attend a competition, how do you start? Do you need to lock yourself into a room alone and you have to think really carefully, or do you walk in nature around, or how do you start?
We have a kind of standard process, which first we, in a way, two things going in parallel. One is a highly inspirational approach, which you better not to be informed too much information. So your intuition or your instinct somehow plays a big role, or your underconsciousness plays a big role. On the other hand, we also need to know the facts apart from all this emotion, your opinion, but we just want to know the facts. So we do this, I'm kind of intentionally to run these two parallel things at the same time. So one hand, we keep collecting all the facts to be very objective towards the subject which we are dealing with. But at the same time, you don't want to be just completely occupied by the facts. So I try to unlock the brain once in a while. So in that case, you better go out or you better drink something or that's, but in a way, I'm doing this a bit intentionally because our brain is very inflexible often. You get easily stuck.
Yeah, and I think we don't even know how to open all the doors of our brain. They are locked probably our whole life.
Well, maybe in my case, there's some technical issue with this because, as I told you, we are working on a very wide range of scale of the project. So sometimes, for example, like we are working on a master plan for, I don't know, 300,000 inhabitants, something. So very, very large master plan. At the same time, we are working on the interior design where we are designing the furniture, for instance. And because we are running such a project simultaneously, there's somehow very easy sometimes to switch the thinking or the part of the brain. It just naturally happens because I have to jump one project to the other all the time. So I can be a bit, how we call it, I can stay distance to the subject. So that's also the one thing which I really appreciate, the situation we are.
And when you're in this design process, who or what inspires you? It doesn't need to be a person from the architectural world. It can be anything.
I can't give you a really good answer for it because I'm probably sensitive on anything. Mm-hmm. It can be even not human being, but something or just piece of rock or stone or flower or a smell or, yeah, but I mean, on the other hand, it is a human being anyway, no?
Mm-hmm.
You want to believe you are influenced by something, but you're wrong. You are under the influence of many other things at the same time. So, yeah, it's very difficult to point out what exactly influences me.
Yeah, and also every idea that we have, we mm-hmm. probably saw it before somewhere without even noticing it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And you already mentioned the topic plants and nature. Mm-hmm. So what importance has nature in your projects? I mean, the planet is burning, is on fire. Mm. So what is your approach in terms of climate change?
Climate change is one very narrow issue actually to talk about. So I maybe start with a bit broader issue,
mm-hmm.
which is that when we, for example, deal with the nature, not only in the landscape project, but in architectural project sometimes, that one thing I have noticed is that, or maybe this is my own opinion, so I don't know if this is an objective opinion, but in terms of the architecture, I often see the real excitement or the real, the climax of the profession is that when you kind of organize things, when you're mm-hmm. sorting out, when you sharpen, when you make things simple, and then things, in a way, the simpler becomes more sophisticated. So this is a very much artifact-oriented process.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think about how the vegetation behaves, I feel nearly opposite. In a way, the nature behaves much more exciting when they start playing complexity instead of the simplicity.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if you have a row of 10 trees, same shape, it doesn't bring you much of inspiration, but if these 10 trees are all different and different shapes, and then all kind of complication and all kind of mystery will be invited in. So I see these two things are coming from different direction. And then now I can narrow down to climate change issue. That's in a way, I'm not too much into, or my obsession doesn't go straight into technology side of the what exactly, like how many PV panels you use, or but more into just simply how can we reduce the waste in all levels, and then even in case of the large urban planning, we always looking into things which you can recycle, or you can preserve, or you mm-hmm. can use, which is already there, instead of trying to make everything by ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And this is maybe relating to my hobby of picking up something from the street.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, we feel so good when you smartly organize things in such that you reduce the waste, or you can recycle things to turn it into something beautiful. That is such a rewarding feeling. And which is, I think, directly relating to what the sustainability means, actually, in the first mm-hmm. place.
So do you think there's actually still the need to build something new?
Mm-hmm.
Or should we stop completely, not completely, but in most cases, and just give old buildings a new life?
My feeling is that, indeed, there are lots of things you can do within existing building. And there are so many projects which is a renovation for instance,
mm-hmm.
But we are not doing enough. There are more possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, one of the latest project of us, we have just converted one old building from 1940s.
Yeah.
That building was supposed to be demolished, but because of some reasons, they couldn't demolish. So we decided to convert this into one private villa, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And then we discover all kind of treasure out of this building. And this building was not meant to be monument kind of building. So mm-hmm. it was not something worth to preserve from the monumental point of view. But the reward was so big that it was very much eye-opening for us. And then I also see like many cities, including Rotterdam, Amsterdam, has a lot of empty office buildings, for instance, which you can also easily convert to residential. But in the Netherlands, actually, it is already happening a lot, to mm-hmm. be honest.
And do you think, for example, a single family house, is this up to date, mm-hmm. the way of thinking? Mm-hmm. Also in terms of when do you call yourself successful?
I think I need to ask you once again, what exactly you're asking?
I mean, like in for normal, most of the people having or owning a single family house with mm-hmm. the fence around the garden and mm-hmm. the two cars, this means, okay, we have a great life. This is successful. But do you think in terms of overpopulation that a single family house is still up to date? Or should we rethink the whole living situation?
I understand what you are pointing out. Okay, of course, if you think functionally about how to deal with this growing population of our planet of Earth, for instance, of course, a single family house is not the smartest solution to deal with this population. Mm-hmm. Simply because there are more people need a house, right? You can't just cover our whole planet out of the single family houses only. But that is just a quantitative issue. It mm-hmm. doesn't necessarily mean we should eliminate this typology from our world, because diversity is the importance of our world, right? Mm-hmm. So, and then in a way, our current market already suggests that living in the single family house is getting more and more difficult, and it becomes the form of luxury. Mm-hmm. So it means you have to pay more if you want to earn that. So yeah. In a way, this phenomena is just happening as a nature, let's say. And I don't have particular opinion you should take one or the other. But it is an unavoidable fact that we need to think smartly about how to live in a denser condition, but still comfortable and nice.
And do you think, if we look into the future, that you don't build architecture anymore at some point, but you grow it?
Mm-hmm. Grow means, you mean extending or adding something on top, or?
For example, the materials, if we use the shell of crabs or something, mm-hmm. and we grow out of this architectural things mm-hmm. with actually using nature, not concrete, not wood, but we grow architecture.
Okay.
Or for example, the skin of a lemon.
Mm-hmm. In that respect, although it is still very difficult to find exact example of what you just mentioned, but there are lots of new technologies, for example, using the sand mm-hmm. or using sand from the dune, for instance, or using the salt, mm-hmm. which is as a result of the, for example, desalination. I don't know that if you know about this process, but desalination is simply converting seawater into sweet water. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, as a result, you end up with a lot of salt, right? And those kind of material, and also if you make steel, mm-hmm. then there will be a lot of, let's say, byproduct of the steel making, for example. It's called slag. Mm-hmm. There are lots of materials which is as a, let's say, byproduct of all this production which we need, and those are the potential material which actually attracts me a lot these days, mm-hmm. because these materials are nearly you can get it in infinite amount, and then it costs nothing to obtain.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it doesn't mean they are growing by themselves like vegetation, but I think the composition of the use of the material in the future should shift.
Mm-hmm.
because what we are doing now is absolutely unsustainable.
We produce a lot of trash that gets shipped to Ghana and burned during the night.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yes. And how do you think, for example, artificial intelligence could help us saving the planet?
Probably, yeah, there's lots of way to go actually from this discussion, but in a way, the real hardcore truth is that we as a Homo sapiens, we are actually the problem of this planet. So in a way, if when we use the word sustainability, I'm always a bit trapped. The kind of question to myself, okay, from which perspective you are looking at this sustainability issue? And my conclusion is what we use sustainability these days is only meant for us, Homo sapiens, let's say, in a very short period of the life of the planet. Because if you think about the focus will be our planet, not the human being, for instance, then we should go. So if we are gone from the planet, this is the best way to make this planet sustainable, because we are hardly contributing anything to this planet, but only using it and then demolish it. And we are the problem, actually, right?
Yes.
So even if you are, I don't know, sorry to be very extreme, but even if you use up all the nuclear bombs of the planet, and then we, let's suppose, we all die. And then there will be time of about 300,000 years to diminish all the radiation, for instance. But 300,000 years in the life of this planet is just like 1 second anyway. And then everything will be back except human being. So if I see in that perspective, in a way, sustainability means something else than what we are dreaming about.
Yeah.
In a way, whatever you do doesn't matter so much because it doesn't last so long from the perspective of the planet age. But since we are human being, I think I have to adjust this focus a bit more into human being. And so, yeah, in that case, yeah. Sorry, I forgot actually what was the original question was. I expanded too far, and then I forgot how to come back to your question, actually.
How artificial intelligence...
Oh, yes, yes, and now I get it. And then, in that case, in a way, artificial intelligence, the AI, can judge much better than us what is good for this planet, for instance. But as I said, we don't really want to imagine the time after we left. So if we are focusing on to the time when we are still living, then in that case, I think what I'm expecting from AI is that it can save a lot of time for us to concentrate to what only human being can do. So one example, when we before you have a calculator, all this mathematics and calculation you have to do by your hands and your brain, right? And then, but after you have a calculator, of course, you save your time to calculate. But the thing is that our lifetime or the hours per day, 24 hours, is not changing ever. It's constant, right? So my point is that probably what I'm expecting the most is that because of the AI, we can save our time to do something else, and we can focus more onto more creative work or more poetic work or all kind of stuff which human being is extremely good at, or what we feel very fun out of it.
And do you also have a solution? What happens to the people that lose because of AI their jobs?
I think there will be a certain balance at the end, because I don't believe they can take care of everything what we are used to do. And I'm also expecting we might also discover more professions which never really exist before because of AI, just simply because we have time to think about it. So, but to be honest, usually I don't think about this topic so much because I think this is a kind of a natural wave, unstoppable kind of wave.
And how do you think about the future living and working space? Is it allowed to do home office in your studio?
Yes. Of course, we still encourage people to come to the office because we are relatively compact office, so we don't anyway end up with very densely populated office environment. That's not the case anyway. And also, we still appreciate this old school, you know, like discussing directly and then brainstorming, and we don't really touch each other, by the way, but still, you know, much more tangible. And I think a lot of people agree there is a substantial difference between communicating via monitor, or you just sit together and discuss and arguing directly in front.
Because that comes because of, not just because of COVID now, the discussion to be more flexible, to have more individual freedom, when to work, where to work. What do you think about this?
I like the idea that we have more choice. Because indeed, some case we can actually work remotely. And also, actually, for last 10 years, we have been working a lot in abroad. So even despite nothing to do with COVID, we had been doing already a lot online. And then sometimes, yeah, you want to meet directly and then you meet and shake hands. But indeed, it doesn't have to be always. So I kind of like the idea of the flexibility between these two methods of work.
Yeah, if you just do home office, I think you get the fusion between work and living is too tight together, that you maybe need sometimes the distance from your workplace and then go to your living space. I have one last question regarding artificial intelligence. How do you imagine the future design process?
Future design process. I do not really see much difference. There will be just a different degree of the proportional difference of the type of the work. So it's going back to the calculator kind of analogy. That's probably a lot of trial and error kind of option making. All this process can be actually done by AI, for instance. So we can test a lot of variations in a very short time. But at the same time, I still believe our kind of ability to intuitively get to the point is very... Yeah, because human being is so unpredictable animal, let's say, that the way how we think is a very ambiguous and very kind of unexpected way, let's say. So, but again, that very simple, let's say, technical calculations, which can be done not by us, but AI, and they can probably also advise us what we should check. Because maybe we are not covering everything, and maybe they are much sharper. So probably it's going to be collaboration between them and us, probably. And that's I'm quite positive about that kind of future. It's kind of beautiful vision which I have.
Hopefully. But I think we will discover it.
But the thing is, it doesn't matter so much how we think about it. It will come.
Yeah, it will come. We already reached the last question. What means architecture for you personally?
Yeah, architecture is still the device which has a substantial influence to our cycle or our mental perception of our world, simply because maybe architecture is often much larger than us, and then it contains a space. And as you know, the space has massive impact to our way of thinking and on any levels, let's say. And then, so, but at the same time, I don't know, like the painter loves the paint, like sculptor loves sculpture, I kind of love architecture, maybe because I've chosen to, you know, take the practice being architects. So this is also my hobby at the same time then.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of I need for my life, let's say, to work on it.
Well said. This sounds really poetic. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
For that you took your time to be on the show. This was this week's episode. We really hope you liked it as much as we did. If you have comments, suggestions, critique, please let us know. And till next time on What's Next. Ciao, ciao.